From Michigan Radio, this is Stateside. I'm Zoe Clark, in for Lester Graham. Day 14 of the partial government shutdown. We'll speak to Michigan Republican Congressman Paul Mitchell about what he's hearing from constituents. And we've got a new governor, attorney general, secretary of state all sworn in this week. We'll take a look at the week in Michigan politics. But first, speaking of a new secretary of state, Jocelyn Benson became the first Democrat to hold the office in more than a quarter of a century. She joins us now. How have the past 3 days been?
It's been great. I've gotten to meet and interact with all the department employees who are based here in Lansing, and been really impressed with their commitment to public service and good delivery of services. And you know, my goal is ensuring that our office at every level with elections and licensing operates at the highest levels of excellence and is independent and innovative. And I'm confident that we're building a team that's going to represent that and enact those values throughout the whole state.
Talk to me just about the actual management of the office. There's something like 1,500 employees. So where do
1,900.
You 1,900. So where do you even begin?
One by one, talking to everyone. And, you know, we have 131 branch offices throughout the state of Michigan as well. And so we interact with more citizens than any other office. And that's why it's so important that every single person in our office is embracing their role of serving the public and committed to doing so with the highest standards of integrity and excellence. So getting to know everyone and setting standards and metrics and measurable deliverables, just as I did when I was dean at the law school and as executive of a nonprofit, I like to set goals and then reach them and get them done. And so that's what we're starting to do right now with an eye towards fulfilling the promises and the commitments that I campaigned on, that 30-minute guarantee for branch office services, really modernizing how we're delivering services. You'll start to see some changes quite soon in that regard. And then on the election side, making sure that we're prepared to implement the proposals that were enacted last November, as well as continue to innovate and really reach the goal I've set for our elections office, which is being a model for the rest of the country on running fair, efficient, and secure, accessible elections.
Well, I want to talk about all of those issues, but back just quickly to the employees of the Secretary of State's office. You know, many are civil servants, but of course, Republicans have controlled the office for decades. So what does it mean then to go from a Republican Secretary of State to a Democratic Secretary of State? What does that mean for Michiganders in your mind?
Well, in my view, the principles of honesty and integrity and independence and innovation that I am leading this office in and that culture that will reflect those principles, those aren't partisan principles. Those are just, representing a commitment to excellence that I believe every department in the state should strive to meet. So I've found that this isn't much different than running in any other institution where you're working with a large number of people, setting goals and setting new standards and expectations for how we reach those goals. So it means getting to know the current culture, getting to know the current employees, and working with all of us to rise above any particular partisan differences, because I always feel also that the best ideas are ones that both sides can agree and compromise, if not on. And so working with everyone in that regard, but really recognizing that the services we deliver and even the elections we oversee, that isn't and shouldn't be a partisan issue. It should just be an issue of doing things well and doing things right.
Well, let's actually hear a little bit of you delivering your speech Tuesday at the Capitol after you were sworn in.
I am ready to work to make us a national leader in fair and accessible elections, to ensure that our legislative districts are drawn by citizens in a nonpartisan manner.
So let's start first with the national leader in fair and accessible elections. Have our elections not been fair and accessible?
Well, I start from the position that a healthy democracy means that we have engaged citizens and informed citizens. On the engaged side, we have been, up until recently, one of just a handful of states that did not allow citizens to vote absentee without stating a reason. And now we've shifted to being able to allow our citizens to vote by mail, vote from home without having to state a reason, vote early, and all those things. So we've shifted to be closer to the top in our policies. But we have, up until now, have not enjoyed a lot of the benefits, even online voter registration, automatic voter registration. So we have previously not been at the top, been at the forefront, even though historically, that was our role. The idea that you should be able to register to vote when you get your driver's license came from Michigan, and now that's a national motor voter policy. So I want to restore our position as a leader, and especially now that we have, through Proposal 3 last November, essentially caught up in many ways to other states through the reforms that were enacted and instilled in our Constitution. Then now we have an opportunity to innovate and to develop new ways to secure and provide access to our elections. And again, that's just one side of it. The other side is, are our citizens informed? Do they have access to information to make their decisions as voters? And that gets back to government transparency. And as you know, the Center for Public Integrity has consistently ranked Michigan last among all states for transparent government and accountable government. So the other side of the coin is making sure we're doing everything we can to promote transparency, demand transparency where we can in various different areas, including but not limited to the role of money in the political process and lobbying. So I want to work on that side as well to ensure that our citizens have access to information about what their legislators and representatives are doing on their behalf here in Lansing, and also what is going on in a way that in the executive branch to help them make decisions about how to best hold us all accountable.
What is your plan? As you mentioned, you want to ensure that our legislative districts are drawn by citizens, as you say, a reference to Proposal 2, just sort of this monstrous idea, right, of redistricting in the state. What is your plan to oversee Proposal 2, this idea of an independent commission that is now the law of the land in the state?
Well, we're going to start this year with town halls across the state to educate the public about what exactly is in this proposal and what their role is or can be in applying to be a part of the Citizens Commission, and also observing the commission once it is assembled. So we have a robust plan in place, and we'll go through the full announcement in the weeks ahead. But the bottom line is, we are going to create a citizen redistricting department within the Bureau, within the Department of State. And in doing so, we will create a department that is navigating for the throughout my entire 4-year term through building a process that will invite all members of the public to apply to be members of the commission. Once we've assembled the commission, making sure they have the protections and resources they need to do their job free from any type of nefarious activity or lobbying efforts, and then making sure that that drawing of the districts, that process goes forward transparently, engages the public effectively. But it's going to begin in 2019 through an education process where I'll be traveling throughout the state of Michigan talking about our plans and inviting people to learn more and prepare them to apply to be a part of the commission. And we anticipate that by the end of 2019, we will have an application process up and online to invite the public to apply and be involved in the commission.
Now, I should note, you said a sort of citizen redistricting department within the Secretary of State. Will you appoint someone to oversee this department, or however we want to call it? Or is this going to be something that you're going to do directly?
Oh no, we will need a staff and a team to set up the town halls and work to administer the process. We've got a strong Bureau of Elections that has functioned independently and with the highest ethics. And so I'm sure we'll be working with a number of those team members and staff as well to make sure that we're building something that similarly will be accessible, transparent, and independent.
Have you reached out to other states, either, director of elections or secretaries of state, to states that have gone through this transition of going from a more partisan redistricting process to something that's more independent? And what are lessons that we need to take away from those states as this starts in Michigan?
Well, my good friend Alex Padilla is the Secretary of State in California, and I had previously, 10 years ago, when they engaged in their citizen districting process, followed it quite closely, studied it, and you may recall we had kind of my nonprofit at the time ran a citizen redistricting competition here in Michigan, just to in some ways parallel the process that they engaged in. So I saw firsthand in many ways their process and look forward to also learning more, talking with the commissioners, reading creating the follow-up and learning from what they did well, what they would have done differently, and learning from their best practices and errors, and using that to inform our decisions here. And then, in addition to that, apart from the districting piece, I have been meeting with secretaries of state from around the country. Got to know the new Secretary of State in Ohio, who's quite good. I got to talk with him and other neighboring states. So I'm also, as well as the elections directors, so I'm also confident that Michigan will be part of a national conversation of secretaries of state and election directors, where we're combining best practices and learning from each other, sharing feedback with each other, so that we can, and Michigan can, be a part of that national conversation and hopefully, again, be a national leader ultimately.
And finally, do you have any concerns about court challenges or challenges to this idea of an independent commission? Lots of folks in Lansing talking about that eventually this is going to end up in the courts.
Well, certainly the area of redistricting since the 1950s, when the Supreme Court said that there can be claims around redistricting brought to the courts in Baker versus Carr, the area of redistricting has always been rife with legal challenges as well.
Indeed.
To ensure that things are meeting the federal requirements and the state requirements. So I anticipate that will continue in various capacities, and we're ready for that. I mean, my commitment, I was elected by the voters to be their advocate for them on their behalf here in Lansing and throughout the state. So I'm going to continue to and use my legal background and knowledge of redistricting law and the Constitution to ensure we're doing everything we can to create a districting process that involves citizens' voices and also complies with every aspect of the law with an eye towards and a hope that that the law will rule the day, even in these deeply oftentimes political questions.
Michigan Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks for having me.